Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson. And I'd like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica, the podcast where I talk about relationships, love, sex, and everything under the umbrella, all from my perspective. And as always, let me say thank you to everyone who listens and supports this podcast. You know, cuffing season is upon us. And you ask, what is cuffing season? Well, cuffing season is when two people decide to lay up, spend time, be intimate during the winter months, the long winter months. Some people do it to find relationships, while others do it just for the fun of it. Either way, cuffing season is a great time to find someone special or just to have fun. So my topic of the night is cuffing season. Also, my question of the night, dysfunctional relationships. Are they the new normal? So please, do me a favor. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself, and I'll be right back with the question. All right, so my question of the night is dysfunctional relationships. The new normal? In a world where social media dominates and the quote-unquote perfect relationships are forever being broadcast, it's no wonder people feel more pressure than ever to have a successful relationship. But what happens when relationships aren't perfect? Is it possible that the functional relationships are the new normal? Evidence suggests abnormal relationships are becoming more common. This may be because of several factors, including increased stress of modern life, the breakdown of traditional social support, and the growing individualism of society. While it is impossible to say for sure what is the new normal, the trend may show a large shift in our collective social and emotional landscape. The functional relationships are more common than we think. Many of us have been in a disturbed relationship one time or another. But what is a dysfunctional relationship? This situation is where when two people cannot communicate or connect with each other, on a healthy level. This can be because of a few factors such as unresolved conflict, different values and goals, or mismatched communication style. Some examples of a dysfunctional relationship. These type of relationships are characterized by unhealthy patterns of behavior. These patterns may include things like communication problems, lack of intimacy, and constant conflict. These type of relationships can damage both parties involved and can often lead to further psychological distress. There are many examples of this type of relationship, but some common ones include when you're fighting and arguing. Every time you look, there's always something that needs to be discussed, and you can't really discuss it when you're upset. So when you're upset, you start to argue, and you don't get anything resolved. Sometimes it may turn into a physical altercation because you're not getting your point across, and you may feel like the person's not caring what it is that you're trying to say. Or there have been situations where some people talk down to you as if you are stupid or are unable to comprehend, making you feel like you're a dumbass. And last, controlling. When you're in a relationship, you're equal. each person in that relationship are two equal souls. You're not my mom, you're not my father, and vice versa. So I don't need you trying to control who I am or dictate what I should do. If we can't talk about it on an equal level, then we don't need to talk about it. Any relationship where couples cannot communicate and work together effectively is likely going to be flawed. The causes of dysfunctional relationships: intimacy issues, trust issues, lack of communication. So what causes these difficulties? There are many explanations, but one that stands out is the possibility is that each partner brings different expectations and needs to the relationship. And when you do that, sometimes you cause tension. And when that tension is caused, then there's nothing that can be resolved. You know, it's like going up against a brick wall. When you're not equally yoked, or you're not on the same thought process, you get nothing. There's nothing that can be achieved as far as helping the relationship or helping the situation at the time. The effect of dysfunctional relationships. There have been extensive research on these type of relationships. Studies have shown several negative effects associated with being in an unstable relationship. And it includes, but not limited to, diminished mental and physical health, increased levels of stress, anxiety and depression, and poor overall well-being. Individuals are also more likely to engage in unhealthy coping mechanisms such as substance abuse and self-harm. Also, people in troubled relationships are at an increased risk of developing chronic health issues such as stress, heart attacks. Years ago, a friend of mine got off work, went home, and it was said him and his girl argued daily. And plus he was, you know, doing some side hustling. He was in them streets. He was a pharmacist. And it wasn't enough. He had a full-time job. And he was bringing money home, and it wasn't enough for her. This dude sat on the side of the bed and died from a heart attack at 42 years old. So stress is real. And when you're dealing with it every day, when you got someone who don't understand you, who don't find a way to work things out with you, you can die. That's why I speak on communication is a must. You can't sit and hold stuff back. You can't let people get on your nerve. You can't lose your life over some dumb shit. It ain't worth it. No relationship is worth it. And if it's dysfunctional and you don't see no light at the end of the tunnel, you might be lost in darkness. And you might need to go back the way you came. Plain and simple. How to deal with dysfunctional relationships. There are a few things to keep in mind when dealing with these type of unbalanced relationships. First, it's important to remember that all relationships are different and there's no one-size-fits-all solution. Second, it's important to be honest with yourself and your partner about what's not working in the relationship. Say, look, I'm having a problem with you not cooking. Or, every time I look, you know, instead of helping me with these kids, you sitting here playing this PlayStation 5. We have responsibilities. Let it be known what's on your mind. Don't hold anything. And finally, it is important to work on the relationship and make changes if necessary. Because once you know what's causing the dysfunction, you can work on fixing it. And this means sometimes you may have to go outside and talk to someone else. you may have to learn how to communicate effectively with your partner. And also, it's important to be aware of your role in the relationship and how you can improve things. You can't just hold your partner accountable and you're not accountable. It don't work like that. If you're asking something of your partner, you best give them the same thing that you're asking. And more sometimes. Sometimes one person may have to do more than the other in order for the relationship to work. Not all the time, but sometimes. Sometimes you run into those situations where you may have to give a little bit more to get a whole lot back. So to wrap this up, most relationships get a bad rap. And that's okay because not all relationships are healthy. Many don't understand that healthy relationships don't self-destruct. A healthy relationship are one that can be a dysfunctional relationship where the partners recognize the dysfunction and work together and not against each other. Because when you're working together in a relationship, you have to maintain the thought process that in a relationship, if it fails, we fail together. And if it works, we made it work together. And on that note, I'll be right back with the sex fact. So my sex fact for tonight is, sex is a great addition to your regular workout. Sex can help build muscle mass, burn calories, and tone your muscles. Sex will rev up your heart rate and warm your muscles. Sex have similar physical effects to vigorous exercises. It increases heart rate, breathing rate, body temperature, and blood pressure. Be right back with my topic of the night. Okay, so my topic of the night is cuffing season, the phenomena of hooking up during the winter. Cuffing season is a metaphor for the period between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day, when men and women believe they are on the verge of starting a relationship. People want to be in a relationship during cuffing season. Now, I'm going to say most people want to be in a relationship because you have a percentage that just want to hook up, just want to stay warm. Just want to get a little bit, go to work, come back, and do the same thing over and over again. And then come springtime. Now, for me, okay, I'm going to give it to you like this. For me, I ain't trying to do a relationship right now. Let's just spend the winter together. Let's hibernate. Because me and my homeboy, back in the day, we used to always make fun about situations, about the cuffing season. We didn't call it that. We call it hibernation season. Where, you know, with bears, they go and they lay low until the winter is over. So we would always choose our mama bear. We would always look for a mama bear because we always consider ourselves as grizzly bears. You know what I'm saying? So we would look for a mama bear and just decide to hibernate. And then once it was sundress and sandal season, back out there. So wanting a relationship during that time is common, but not everybody feels that way. You know, some people just want to play. The term first came on the scene around 2011 according to the Urban Dictionary and became popular by the media. The word cuffing refers to the act of putting a cuff or restraint on someone, like they do, say, like in prison. And, you know, there have been times where, you know, being with someone can feel like prison. Once that new feeling or that that I can't describe the word I'm trying to say. Once it's a certain thing, like when you first start out, it just feels all good and like, yeah. After a while, it starts to wear off, and you look at the person like, damn, I done been with them 8 days, you know? And you really don't want to mess up a good thing because it's not, okay, chasing people, looking for someone to hang out with or get with. Doing the winter months is a whole lot different than the summer months. Because the summer months, you just come and go, and, you know, it's nice and warm, and you're just going to meet more and more people. Whereas when it's cold and dark and, you know, ugly, you don't want to spend your time out in the club, the empty clubs, looking for someone who may not be a quality or who may be just enough to, you know, hit and go back home. So that's why you gotta be very, very sure you chose the right person when it comes to cuffing someone for the winter months. Because why put all that work into finding someone and then break up and go start all over again? And the chances of you meeting good quality or someone who is in tune with you is slim to none. You know, you might meet somebody, but the possibility of it becoming something more or being something that close to what you may have had, the chances are very slim. That's it. It's very seldom will it be you constantly meet people. Whereas in during the summer months, you just like bang bang like a pinball machine. I mean, you go to the gas station, you go get yourself from the grocery store, you go meet someone. But when it's cold and you see people out there ain't showing their goods, they mad because they out in the cold and the dark, and they're not as friendly and open to meeting people. Traditionally, it's thought that men would find it difficult to control their urges during the cold winter months. And I guess this goes back to centuries ago. The history of cuffing seasons traces back to the early days of human social interaction. In the winter months, people would hunker down in their homes and villages, and there were less opportunities to meet people. As a result, people were more likely to enter committed relationships during this time. Similar to what I just said, you know, it goes all the way back centuries. When people in villages, they would, you know, when it's cold and dark, they trying to find somebody. They trying to lay up with someone. They ain't trying to go hunting in a different village, because you couldn't really just pop up in somebody's village. How about you looking for somebody? You know what I'm saying? Because it's like they had like their clique. And you just can't. I didn't live back in those times, but I can imagine a lot of men didn't play that. Like, you know, another dude come from another village and, oh, I'm about to get with your girl. You don't get the hell up out of here. You ain't gonna mess with my village chick. So it's like it's a whole different mindset, but it's still relative to the day. You know what I'm saying? Similar situations, but different times. The psychology behind wanting a winter relationship. And I think we psych ourselves out a lot, because you can go through a couple of cold winter months, a couple of winter seasons by yourself. And you think you live in the life, you know, you got your own place, you got the internet, you got cable, you got drinks, you got food, but you don't have nobody to share that with. So after going through that a couple of years, you decide, you know what, this year's gonna be different. I'm gonna hunker down with someone in their village. I'm gonna be warm, I'm gonna be happy, and I'm gonna be fucked. Because that's what it all boils down to. My stomach full. I'm happy. In good sense. That's for most people. You know. I mean, great conversation. That's in there too. But, you know. That comes with it. And I think people are wired to seek relationships and relationships. I'm sorry. People are wired to seek relationships during the cold winter months. After all, it is the season of reproduction. Yep, a lot of babies are created or put in the womb during the cold winter months. I was born in October, so my parents got down summer, towards the end of the summer. Anyway, so yeah, there's a lot of baby making during those months of the latter part of September. I'm gonna say October, like the first week of October to maybe the latter part of March, first month of April. But there may also be some social and cultural factors at play. In many cultures, winter is a time of the year where people stay indoors more and socialize less. This leads to feelings of loneliness and isolation. Having a romantic partner can help ease these feelings. So if you're feeling lonely this winter, don't be afraid to reach out and find some companionship. That's just my little bit of advice. From cuffing to dating, transitioning from temporary to long-term. When you first get to know someone, it is natural to want to spend time with them, spend quality time, and as much time as possible. But then you can get comfortable with each other and find yourself in different stages of a relationship. For example, you may have been cuffing, casually seeing each other, but now you're ready for something more committed. When transitioning from temporary to long-term, you need to have the conversation. You got to communicate. You got to make it known that, hey, I need to let you know my intentions as far as what we're trying to do. It's important to agree so that there's no misunderstandings. And if both of you are on board with taking things to the next level, then you can start making plans. Next, start making more of an effort in the relationship. And this may mean planning dates and taking more time to talk to each other. Whether it's to show your partner you're ready to work, whatever it is, show your partner that you're ready to work on the relationship and strengthen it. Now, to go back to dating, I don't mean like going out and, you know, do regular dates at this restaurant or that restaurant. You can do date night amongst yourselves. You know, movie night and chill, your favorite recipe, do some wine tasting. All in the confines of your home. So don't think that you gotta get all dressed up and face that cold weather just to have a good time out to a restaurant or to a bar. No, just set up your own, do your own thing at your own house, at your own place. How to make the most out of cuffing season. Similar to what I just said, you know, come up with creative ideas to, you know, do something other than the norm. You don't feel like getting dressed up? Don't get dressed up. Put on some pajamas and get in the kitchen and cook a nice meal. And sit down and discuss. I think when it comes to being together during those winter months when it's cold, you have an opportunity to discuss life investments and decisions. And what I mean by that is you're only going to want to do that for so long as you age, meaning getting with someone during the winter months and just having fun. That's gonna get old quick. One of you gonna probably pop up, gonna probably bring up the question, what are we doing? Are we just having fun? Are we just gonna, you know, have sex and have a winter romance? Or are we trying to take this more, are we trying to take this further? Are we trying to have more from this relationship? Are we going to develop a relationship? Do you want a relationship? It's questions like that you have to, you know, dig deep and say, hey, what are we doing? And there's more to me than just coming over here and having a winter romp in the bed. Are we just winter fuck buddies? I don't want to be a fuck buddy. I done been through that stage. I want more. I want to know, if I get pregnant, what are we going to do? Are you going to try to convince me not to have a baby because we was playing? We was hooking up during cuffing season? Or are you going to stand up and say, hey, let's bring this child into this world. Let's take it further. Let's be parents to this child. And if we're going to be parents, let's be married parents. Those are the type of things that will pop up during those long winter months, because sex only play a certain part. And once that part has ended, everything else you have to think about. And it's not just one person, it's two people. So even if you're not thinking about the other person, is guaranteed. This is the time of the year when people think about their futures and what they want to achieve. For some, this is a time of excitement and anticipation, while for others, it's a time for stress and worry. Like I said, what if I get pregnant? What you gonna do? What we gonna do? Either way, it is important to remember that this time of the year is when people are making decisions that will affect their lives for years to come. So take your time and think about what it is you want and make the best decision for you. Some cuffing season tips and tricks. During the season, there are a few things you can do to make the most of. First, start by getting yourself out there. Go to as many social events as possible. Put yourself out there and let someone know that you're available to be cuffed if you're not already cuffed up or hooked up with someone. Second, don't be afraid to be picky. The worst thing you can do is pick someone and regret it. You pick someone to spend cuffing season with, and if they're not the right person, if they don't have the right energy, if they're not vibing the way you vibing, if they don't do certain things, if they ain't trying to have sex, and it's cold, and it's dark, they may have to go. You may have to look elsewhere. So choose wisely. It's better to be single than to be with someone who isn't right for you. And finally, enjoy the season. Cuffing season is a great time to meet new people and have fun. Even if when you don't have someone already selected. So make the most of it and enjoy yourself. Here's a few tips that I have experienced or, you know, have seen. Number one, you can start by evaluating your relationship goals. Do you want something serious or you're just looking for a flame? Be honest with yourself, as this will help you choose the right person to get with. Number two, once you know what you're looking for, start scoping out potential candidates. Pay attention to those who try to talk to you and show interest in you. And number three, when you found someone you're interested in, invite them to do something low-key like grabbing coffee or just sitting down having a conversation. This will help you gauge their interest level and see their potential for something more. Number four, things seem to go well, don't be afraid to take it to the next level. Suggest cooking dinner or going to a more intimate or going on a more intimate date. And finally, communication is the key. Now, it seemed like cuffing season is just perfect for the most part, but there are some downsides to this season. Though it is often thought of as a time of fun and flirty relationships, cuffing season can have some downsides. For starters, it's tough to find someone who's looking for a genuine relationship. Even if you find someone, the relationship may not last once the weather gets warm and people feel less cooped up together. That's a common one. That is one of the most common reasons why the relationship probably ain't gonna last. Because you itching to get back out there. You itching to see what's new on the market. What you done missed out on. What you can probably cover for the next season. If you're thinking of getting into a relationship during cuffing season, just be aware of potential downsides. You may end up being disappointed if you're looking for something more than just a temporary flight. To wrap this up, new research on cuffing season account for about 3.5 million, which is crazy. Winter is 70% more likely than spring and 40% more likely than summer. It is so crazy that researchers cannot even find out if women are hooking up during the winter. Cuffing season is an actual phenomenon that happens when the weather gets colder and people want to be in a relationship. And on that note, I'm going to end the podcast. I want to say thank you to everyone who listens to the podcast, who supports. Anything you want me to talk about, anything you want to hit me up with, hit me up at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. Thank you for the support. Continue to be safe out here in these streets. I'll talk to you next week.